Inseparable Witnesses of Jesus Christ by Elder John M. Madsen of the 70. The Doctrine and Covenants and the Book of Mormon are inseparable, powerful witnesses of the divinity of Jesus Christ and His great latter-day work. These two volumes of Scripture fulfill, at least in part, a promise of the Lord to Enoch, "And righteousness will I send down out of heaven, and truth will I send forth out of the earth, to bear testimony of mine only begotten, his resurrection from the dead, yea, and also the resurrection of all men. And righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as with a flood, to gather out mine elect from the four quarters of the earth." Moses chapter 7, verse 62. After quoting this scripture in a conference talk, President Ezra Taft Benson said that the Book of Mormon has come forth out of the earth filled with truth, and that the Doctrine and Covenants is filled with revelation after revelation from the heavens. From The Gift of Modern Revelation, Ensign, November 1986, pages 79 and 80. Much can be learned regarding the importance of the Book of Mormon by reading the revelations contained in the Doctrine and Covenants. Ties between the Book of Mormon and Doctrine and Covenants. While delivering his glorious message of a book written upon gold plates, the angel Moroni said that the fullness of the everlasting gospel was contained in it. Joseph Smith History 1, verse 34. After outlining the means by which the book was to be translated, Moroni began quoting prophecies of the Old and New Testaments. He first quoted from the third chapter of Malachi and then the fourth chapter. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 2, contains a brief account of this visitation. Then, in the summer of 1828, the prophet Joseph Smith received two additional revelations in connection with the translation of the Book of Mormon. Sections 3 and 10 have to do with the 116 pages of manuscript entrusted to Martin Harris that he might carry the writings home and show them. History of the Church, Volume 1, page 21. In February 1829, Joseph Smith Sr. came to visit his son. He was fully aware of all that had transpired, the vision of the Father and the Son to young Joseph, the promise spoken by the Lord that the fullness of the gospel should, at some future time, be made known. History of the Church, Volume 4, page 536. The appearance of the angel Moroni, the receipt of the gold plates, the work of translation, the loss of 116 pages of manuscript, and the taking away and return of the plates and the Urim and Thummim. On this occasion, the prophet Joseph inquired of the Lord in behalf of his father and received Section 4, which begins, "Now behold, a marvelous work is about to come forth among the children of men." The translation of the Book of Mormon was part of and essential to the accomplishment of the Lord's marvelous latter-day work. In March 1829, Martin Harris was deeply repentant and sorrowful over losing the 116 pages of translation, and he again journeyed to Harmony, Pennsylvania. He pleaded with Joseph to inquire of the Lord in his behalf. Once again, the prophet received another revelation, Section 5, wherein Martin Harris was called to witness of the gold plates, if he would repent and humble himself before the Lord. In April 1829, Oliver Cowdery, hearing that Joseph had received the plates, journeyed to Harmony, Pennsylvania, and immediately became involved in the work of translation, assisting Joseph as a scribe. History of the Church, Volume 1, pages 32 and 33. During this month, Sections 6, 8, and 9 were given as questions arose from the translation of the Book of Mormon. Section 13 is another wonderful example of revelation to the prophet in answer to questions encountered while translating the Book of Mormon. Said Joseph, "We still continued the work of translation when, in the ensuing month, May of 1829, we, on a certain day, went into the woods to pray and inquire of the Lord respecting baptism for the remission of sins that we found mentioned in the translation of the plates. While we were thus employed, praying and calling upon the Lord, a messenger from heaven descended in a cloud of light, and having laid his hands upon us, he ordained us, saying, 'Upon you, my fellow servants, in the name of Messiah, I confer the priesthood of Aaron, which holds the keys of the ministering of angels, and of the gospel of repentance, and of baptism by immersion for the remission of sins.'" Joseph Smith History 1, verses 68 and 69, also Doctrine and Covenants, Section 13. This heavenly messenger who identified himself as John, the same that is called John the Baptist in the New Testament, further explained to Joseph and Oliver that he acted under the direction of Peter, James, and John, who held the keys of the priesthood of Melchizedek, which priesthood, he said, would in due time be conferred on us. History of the Church, Volume 1, page 40. Thus, the coming forth of the Book of Mormon not only resulted in numerous revelations contained in the Doctrine and Covenants, but also was the catalyst for the restoration of the Holy Aaronic and Melchizedek priesthoods, preparatory to the reestablishment of the Church and Kingdom of God in these latter days. Sections 14 through 20 all further illustrate the relationship between the coming forth of the Book of Mormon and the Doctrine and Covenants. Teachings about the Book of Mormon's importance. A little over a year and a half after the translation and publication of the Book of Mormon and the organization of the Church, the Lord revealed His preface to the Book of Doctrine and Covenants as contained in Section 1. In this revealed preface, the Lord testified that the prophet Joseph Smith was given power to translate the Book of Mormon through the mercy of God by the power of God. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 1, verse 29. In Section 3, the Lord stated some of His purposes for bringing forth the Book of Mormon. Inasmuch as the knowledge of a Savior has come unto the world through the testimony of the Jews, even so shall the knowledge of a Savior come unto my people, and to the Nephites, through the testimony of their fathers. And this testimony shall come to the knowledge of the Lamanites. And for this very purpose are these plates preserved, which contain these records, that the promises of the Lord might be fulfilled, which He made to His people, and that the Lamanites might come to the knowledge of their fathers, and that they might know the promises of the Lord, and that they may believe the gospel and rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ, and be glorified through faith in His name, and that through their repentance they might be saved. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 3, verses 16 through 20. In Section 5, the Lord has much to say about the Book of Mormon's importance in the restoration of the gospel. The Lord reminded Joseph that you have a gift to translate the plates, and this is the first gift that I bestowed upon you, and I have commanded that you should pretend to no other gift until my purpose is fulfilled in this, for I will grant unto you no other gift until it, the translation and publication of the Book of Mormon, is finished. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 5, verse 4. The Lord made it clear to His servant Joseph Smith that the Book of Mormon had to be translated and made available before His great latter-day work proceeded. Also in Section 5, verses 5 through 16, the Lord explained why the Book of Mormon is so important in the establishment of His kingdom on the earth. In these verses, the Lord repeatedly used the phrase, "My words," to refer to the Book of Mormon, which was soon to come forth through the prophet Joseph Smith. See 3 Nephi chapter 21, verses 9 through 11. The Lord declared that if the children of men will not believe my words contained in the Book of Mormon, they would not believe you, my servant Joseph. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 5, verse 7. These few verses of Scripture illustrate the great truth declared by the prophet Joseph that the Book of Mormon is the keystone of our religion. History of the Church, Volume 4, page 461. A witness of the divinity and truthfulness of the Book of Mormon confirms that Jesus is the Christ, that Joseph Smith is a true prophet, and that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as organized by the prophet Joseph, is true. With such a witness of the Spirit, courageous souls from all the nations of the earth are embracing the restored gospel. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 5, verse 16. In Doctrine and Covenants, Section 6, verse 9, the Lord instructed Oliver Cowdery to assist to bring forth my work. Oliver Cowdery was indeed instrumental in bringing forth the Book of Mormon, which contained the fullness of the gospel. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 20, verses 8 and 9, Section 27, verse 5, Section 42, verse 12, and Section 135, verse 3. The Lord would send forth His servants with this record in their hands to work a marvelous work among the children of men, under the convincing of many of their sins, that they may come unto repentance, and that they may come unto the kingdom of my Father. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 18, verse 44. Section 17 of the Doctrine and Covenants contains one of the most clear and powerful of all recorded testimonies of the Book of Mormon. the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the Book of Mormon is another testament, declares that my servant Joseph Smith, Jr. has translated the Book of Mormon, even that part which I have commanded him, and as your Lord and your God liveth, it is true. Doctrine and Covenants, section 17, verses 5 and 6. Who can read or hear this testimony and ever wonder how the Lord regards the Book of Mormon? It is a serious thing to hear or to read and ponder these words, for they are sufficient to condemn us if we should ever reject the Book of Mormon or be unfaithful to the cause of Christ and His kingdom. Doctrine and Covenants, section 5, verses 15 and 18. In June 1829, the Lord declared to Oliver Cowdery, the prophet scribe, this powerful testimony to the truthfulness and importance of the Book of Mormon. Behold, I have manifested unto you by my Spirit in many instances that the things which you have written are true. And I give unto you a commandment that you rely upon the things which are written, for in them are all things written concerning the foundation of my church, my gospel, and my rock. Wherefore, if you shall build upon my church, upon the foundation of my gospel and my rock, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Doctrine and Covenants, section 18, verses 2 through 5. Thus, the Book of Mormon contains the fundamental teachings of the restored Church of Jesus Christ, as the Lord Himself testified. Section 20 contains extensive discussion of the Book of Mormon. It is significant that the revelation to formally organize the church was not given until the Book of Mormon was translated and published. After confirming that Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery were duly called of God and authorized to organize and give leadership to His church, the Lord declared the following: God gave him, the prophet Joseph Smith, power from on high by the means which were before prepared to translate the Book of Mormon, which contains a record of a fallen people and the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles and to the Jews also, which was given by inspiration and is confirmed by others by the ministering of angels and is declared unto the world by them, that is, the three witnesses, proving to the world that the Holy Scriptures are true and that God does inspire men and call them to His holy work in this age and generation as well as in generations of old, thereby showing that He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, having so great witnesses, Joseph Smith, the three witnesses, the eight witnesses, and even those who compiled the Book of Mormon, by them shall the world be judged, even as many as shall hereafter come to a knowledge of this work, that is, the Book of Mormon. And those who receive it in faith and work righteousness shall receive a crown of eternal life. Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verses 8 through 14. In section 84, the Lord made another significant reference and gave a sobering warning with regard to the Book of Mormon. To the saints in 1832, the Lord said, "And your minds in times past have been darkened because of unbelief, and because you have treated lightly the things you have received, which vanity and unbelief have brought the whole church under condemnation. And this condemnation resteth upon the children of Zion, even all. And they shall remain under this condemnation until they repent and remember the new covenant, even the Book of Mormon, and the former commandments which I have given them, not only to say, but to do according to that which I have written." Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 54 to 57. On several occasions, President Ezra Taft Benson challenged members of the church to study, use, and abide by the precepts of the Book of Mormon to free themselves from that same condemnation pronounced upon the early Latter-day Saints. See A Witness and a Warning, pages 6 through 8. Conclusion. Truly the Lord has much to say about the Book of Mormon in the Doctrine and Covenants. These two volumes of Scripture are indeed inseparable and powerful witnesses of the divinity of Christ and His great latter-day work. President Benson explained the important relationship of these two sacred books. Excluding the witnesses to the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants is by far the greatest external witness and evidence which we have from the Lord that the Book of Mormon is true. The Doctrine and Covenants is the binding link between the Book of Mormon and the continuing work of the Restoration through the prophet Joseph Smith and his successors. The Book of Mormon brings men to Christ. the Doctrine and Covenants brings men to Christ's kingdom. The Book of Mormon is the keystone of our religion, and the Doctrine and Covenants is the capstone with continuing Latter-day Revelation. The Lord has placed His stamp of approval on both the keystone and the capstone. The Book of Mormon and the Doctrine and Covenants. Ensign, May 1987, page 83. Gospel Topics, Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, Testimony. End of the article, Inseparable Witnesses of Jesus Christ, by Elder John M. Madsen of the Seventy.